whatever you think, or Finance Committee.
Or DPO, or Finance Committee.
8:45 on the clock, we'll call to order the regular board meeting, the Gates County Board of Supervisors. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The meeting act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Flip around here. So on the agenda is a consent agenda, which consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes held July 10th, 2013, approval of all claims through July 24th, 2013, in the amount of $944,105.12, approval and place on file all correspondence received. Approve utility permit 962 for Black Hills Energy Pipeline replacement located in parts of section 21 and 27, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, and Blakely Township. Approve utility permit 963 for Roars Machinery trenching of an electric line located in parts of section 20 and 29, Township 3 North, Range 8 East, Sherman Township. Approve utility permit 964 for Norris Public Power, for the Norris Public Power District trenching of an electric line located in Section 20, Township 1 North, Range 7 East, Barnston Township, and approve hiring a motor grader operator at $15.23 an hour.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
Could you pull claim number 130-70236 from the consent agenda?
That's for Marjorie Hill's estate in the amount of $5,184.19. So we'll pull that. We'll consider everything separate, and we'll consider this one claim. So we will approve 1 through 8 with the exception of this one claim. Any more discussion?
I'll just bring up the point quick. I think the reason the claims were so big there, the 944, is we had a transfer into the road and bridge.
$500,000.
So just so everybody's aware of that.
Thank you. Okay, any more discussion? None. A vote? 7-0 to approve. Now we'll consider claim separately, 130-70236, in the amount of $5,184.19. Need a motion to approve?
I would move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 6 in favor. Hill abstains. All right. Next, comments for the public and requests for future agenda items relative to the Board of Supervisors. Seen none yet, but if Gus wants to get up and talk, we'll let him. Come back later. No timed items, so we'll start right into the committee reports. Building and grounds?
Nothing.
Equalization?
Everything. As you know, we'll be having a special equalization meeting at 1 o'clock, so we'll be looking for everybody.
Finance and insurance.
First insurance, Amber called a week or two ago. We set up a meeting next Tuesday, I believe, the 30th at 10 o'clock. 30th. Next Tuesday, an insurance meeting at 10 o'clock. Amber's coming down, and she'll have, I believe she made the comment somehow, a lot of the numbers,
yeah,
whatever.
Hopefully.
So we'll start visiting with that. So an insurance committee, I know Denny and... can't remember who the other one is, I think. Terry. Next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we'll have a meeting with them. Finance.
Tuesday or Thursday?
Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
At 10 o'clock.
30th.
Finance is really starting to work on a lot of the budgets. Basically, all the department people have gotten their budgets in. Don's been able to start entering those numbers and stuff, and they're coming out pretty close. We're going to have a meeting with... Gus on his Monday at 4 o'clock, and we need to decide, I guess, whether or not we'd like the finance committee to go over that budget, or you want the law enforcement over that. budget. Who you want at 4 o'clock?
Historically, it was just Finance Committee, but...
Okay, then we'll do the Finance Committee at 4 o'clock and go over Gus's budget.
We want to do something different.
We had our committee meeting Monday. We went over, in the Road and Bridge Committee meeting, we went over the Road and Bridge budget. A lot of things there they turned in and stuff, and we're going to meet after this meeting, Road and Bridge meet, and we'll go over that some more and start figuring out what we're going to prioritize or whatever, because the proposed budget, and they did, they added some extra things in there. One part, though, and we'd ask them to specifically break out, and we have the Hickory Road project, and they broke out those, and they've got some quotes in there. Not quotes, they've got some figures in there as far as what some of those cost and some of the projects we're looking at doing on the Hickory Road in the coming year. And I believe, at least in the proposal, we're a little over $800,000, and they've got a quote from Norris Electric already to move the electric lines of $300,000. So that's some of those things that we will look at in the budget. And then we've had a lot of discussion or start discussion of how to basically come up with the funding for Hickory Road. And one of the proposals right now is that we'll budget $500,000 out of inheritance for that. That's one of the proposals we're bringing forward. And then also using some money out of our road and bridge sinking, and then some other aspects. I forget, you had a couple other ideas that...
Maybe some general fund obligation, and then down the road, too, once the internal bond currently is paid off in 2016, there's some gas tax allocation. Right now, we use one of those.
And some of those are different areas of what we can use to... help fund the Hickory Road project. But like I said, I don't remember the exact number. I think it came up to $840,000 or something. That's the proposal right now for this next year, doing the one slab bridge out there and a couple culverts and the grading. And I remember the one from Norris is $300,000 because that's a quote they have for them to move their electric lines and that type of stuff. But the part that I like...
$887,000.
Okay, there you go. The part I like, though, is the fact that we're breaking that out. Don has a line in the sinking fund that we'll use for the Hickory Road that will be able to track that those expenses and stuff. We set up another line in there. But the part I like is the fact that we are breaking that out this year, so we are able to tell during the year, are we doing some of these projects or not, and where do we sit on those as far as the Hickory Road. So, you know, that's something that we're definitely the committee... The Road and Bridge Committee feels very important that we need to look at and work at getting done the next several years. So, and the other thing is we'll just keep working on the numbers and start crunching the numbers so that we can come up with this ending figure. I told Don we need to come up with an ending figure to see where our funding is at, if we're going to be within our lids and all of our limits and where we're at, so that we make the budget doable and workable and fit.
Don always has a dubious task of telling us you can't do that.
Yeah, can't do that. Yeah,
do that. Go back.
The numbers that don't work.
Those are checks and balances.
Part of what the Hickory Road project that a lot of that will be factored into the capital improvements this next year, and that's why we're able to do some of these things that it looks like you're doing them above and beyond the budget, but you're not, because of capital improvements are the way they're categorized in the budget.
Questions from Myron?
Next meeting, I'll try and have some, I guess, some highlights or some more specific things of what some of the key points are going to be, I guess, in our budget.
What about agency requests? How are those? Are there much increases there? Are those they're asking for?
We have a list.
Most of them have a little bit of an increase, but there's probably a handful that have remained the same.
Handful and remain the same. Yeah.
Don't have all of them in. I just got one more yesterday.
Be it okay.
So. In request.
Human resource, employee relations.
No report.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
On the law enforcement side, Gus had updated us on the vehicles or the lack of vehicles showing up. So, anybody sees two or three new pickups driving around the countryside with. Should be here, maybe let us know. No, it sounds like must have had a pretty good run on that program because it's being delayed getting them out to us. So anybody was wondering where they were at, that's kind of the deal on them. So emergency management, Schaefer had their technician quit on them or retired or whatever, and so we're kind of at a little bit of a issue here where we don't have somebody that's real acquainted with our communications equipment. And Mark's trying to get the new person that they got hired up to speed, and I also suggested that maybe we look at having two companies that do that. That way we got two different bases of knowledge to work with that stuff. That way when something like this happens, we got somebody else on board that kind of knows what's going on. So it's not a real big issue because most of our equipment's in good shape, and we got Mark on hand that can chase after a lot of stuff, but it is a concern. So
okay. Road and Bridge.
Yes, the majority of our meeting last Monday was probably pertaining to the budget. Went through that, and we're going to revisit, like Myron said, on that again. Hickory Road project, Myron discussed that, where we set that. Coke Road project, dirt work is almost completed on the main road itself. Galen visited with NRD about the rural water project, about replacing the gravel. They are hauling gravel and repairing some of the damaged roads. That was that happened during that project. Wind farm project's going moving forward. Galen's been down there, videoed all the roads with the people down there, and other than that, just general maintenance and work.
Matt, just in listening to Myron's discussion on the finance and about the Hickory Road project, I guess I'm going to throw it out there for Road and Bridge that maybe, being as we're looking at Hickory, I guess initially I was thinking that we were going to, you know, make that more of a speedier process on the Hickory Road and actually, you know, try and work out the funds to make it happen quicker. But if we're looking at it in stages, like it sounds like several years, I heard Myron say, I think probably what we ought to look at is them last several miles to get it over to 103. Start including that in all of our thoughts too, being as we're going to start drawing this out and appropriate funds over so many years, because I think that last section is an important part also, that, you know, where we're looking at an extended time period. We'll just as well throw that out there too and start thinking about that too. That way we don't get several years down the road, finish the project, and then, oh, well, here's this section here and we haven't started. I mean, I'm sure we wouldn't be that unprepared, but just saying, I think maybe we ought to throw that out there and start making that happen too.
Anything else? Nope. All right. Next on the agenda is to approve or disapprove a community-based juvenile services addendum and enhancement grant. Everybody's got a copy of that in your packet. Christina. First, I need a motion to approve or disapprove, and then we'll have discussion. And
motion to approve. Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Thorn to approve. Let's have some discussion. Christina.
The first, the LB 561, right there at the top, it says community-based juvenile services. This was a legislative bill that passed this spring that will redo our juvenile justice system, and it specifically allowed for money to come down to the counties for diversion services. Its specific purpose is to keep kids out of the system decrease those, I guess. Is that right, Roger?
Correct.
And so we are requesting the money that is allotted for Gage County based upon our juvenile population of 16,899. This, again, is because we have completed that 3-year comprehensive county plan, which we did last fall. The enhancement grant is a 13-page one that you have, and there are a couple of different things in there. I put in there some additional space, a 40% increase for probation, which was allowed under LB 561, and that was a total of, I think, around $12,000, maybe even a little more, $12,102. The other part is the Awarity program, which is a program that we have money through a different grant to get started here in Beatrice Public Schools, but I'd really like to do it in the other four county schools. It's a web-based and internet program that parents, teachers, kids can report any kind of bullying, self-harm, harm to others, that type of thing. And then the school resource officer or the administration of the school will be able to follow up on that and hopefully prevent some things, violent situations from happening, that type of thing.
Right. Christine and I talked about we've had a marked increase in suicides in Gage County this last year, and be reactive. I think Christine is looking at some possible education preventative programs to get to the, particularly the young folks, and talk to them so we don't have those kind of situations.
So that's one of the things. And then some juvenile justice training I put in there for five people to attend the juvenile justice training that they have in the spring in Kearney. Any questions?
Christine, how does this relate to the LB 561 when we talked about juvenile probation services expanding and those dollars being put in here as well? Is there?
That's what the probation space is. They're expanding four office space.
Two offices in the district, two of them supposed to be here and here.
Here.
Right.
And they're asking for 11 office spaces. I think they have 7 now here. And so I asked for a 40% increase. It's around, works out to about 40%. And what I was told through the Crime Commission is that even though it's not a priority in our plan, we can ask for that. We can do an addendum, which does not need to be signed, and we can ask for that.
So when those come in, those funds come into, on the revenue side, to the general fund that then the county could use for those expenses? How does that?
My understanding is kind of like, you spend it first, we'll take a look at your request to be reimbursed. And I just caution the board, be very careful of it. You know, from that standpoint, if you're spending the money thinking you're going to get money back, I Christine is doing what she can to make the application so we're in line. Again, I forget what the dollar amount was, but you know, given the number of personnel that they're hiring at the probation level, there's going to be a lot of people asking for reimbursements of expanded office space, furniture, all the accessories that come with that. And that's something,
I think that we will be one of the last counties that sees that money. I think that that money is going to go to Douglas and Sarpy and Lancaster before it will come to Gage, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I would certainly share that. When you consider sheer numbers and the challenges they face, mm-hmm. We work pretty good down here in Gage County, and because of the personnel with HHS and probation and law enforcement. So it's not insurmountable. I'm sure Douglas and Lancaster look at it. That kind of problem is unbelievable. But I would just say we can proceed, slowly and be supportive of the program. Again, a lot of what the law says that we now have to do, the changes we're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the logistics of it, I'm not that concerned about it. I guess it's partly economic development. I see Mr. DeMuth come in. When we have personnel that are assigned to Beatrice, that's always nice.
Well, and just a part of that, too, I know we had a discussion about space for probation. And I know there's some discussion about continuing where we're at now, not really knowing if this change was going to implode or explode the program, and really probably not wanting to do anything too drastic because we just don't know. Maybe squat for a year and see how things are going. So I did visit with the mayor, and I did get a draft copy here from Tobias. I think everyone's got a copy of it in their packet, just to have an extension of the one-year lease. I kind of explained to them very peripherally what we were encountering here, and you know, I guess my thoughts were there's probably other spaces out there that we could look at, but at this point we don't know for sure. And if we, you know, if we want to stay where we're at, they're amicable to at least having the discussion and allowing us to continue for a year, kind of see how things work out, see if that space. My impression is the folks there at probation like that space. It seems to work for them. So look at that, and you know, if we need to move forward with this, I think the current agreement is up. Is it August?
September 30th.
September 30th. So we got a little bit of time, but they're willing to go another year, and they understand, in the conversation I had with them, that there's some changes coming. So I just throw that out there.
When this, I want to thank Christina, too, for helping us. When this, we were aware of that there was funding coming for this LB 561, that some funding's coming back to the county. We had a lot of discussion. We visited Kathy, I, and Don went down a week ago there and visited with Sarah, too, and then we called Christina on the phone and visited, trying to get a handle on the other's funding in this $16,889 or whatever it's going to come. Gage County qualifies for. At one time, we thought, well, the county qualified for that, and then visiting with Christina, and she visited with the people in charge of this. This is how the program was set up, and based on population, that's how Gage County got that money. Or that amount of money. And since then, too, we realized that for, like, office space or whatever that, you can file an addendum or an addition to it, I guess, and then not knowing if you'll get it or not, but putting in that request also for that because it does require more manpower in our office, not in our office, in all of the offices because of this LB 561 or whatever. So we've had several conversations after that meeting, visited with Matt on some of the other locations that have talked about in Beatrice and what the outcome of those have been. And that's when Matt said we'd probably call the mayor and ask if we couldn't have a one-year extension to see how this thing all does shake out or whatever. Because a year from now, if it's like some bills or laws,
who knows?
They propose it and then they work through them as they go with them, you know, and stuff. There's ideas out there, but...
Or they don't implement certain portions of it.
Yeah. Or something comes up that they didn't plan on and all that. But, I mean, so there has been a lot of conversation. And Christina, then we met with her again here the other day. Don and I did a little bit. And she was more aware of what was all going on. And that's how comes some of this has come to where we're at now. So I want to thank her for her help because she understands the grant part writing of it. We knew right away that that's not our strength, and she's done this for several years already for the juvenile part of the grants.
Okay. Any more discussion? Thank you again for going through everything and everybody that's working on this. So we have a motion and a second, and I would just, again, review this, and, you know, if we can shake this out with the city, if that's something that we want to do. Otherwise, if we want to look for something different, then we need to do it in our places out there. But I would say I would lobby for just staying put for a year and seeing how this, let the smoke settle. So, all right, I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve.
Well, one other quick point. This all had to be in by August 5th. That's why Christine is here. This had to be up to the state by August 5th, and that's why she's at this meeting. So,
during the fair would not be in my... ideal time come to the board
meeting. There was a timeline on this, and there were certain guidelines you couldn't do. You couldn't fax it up, and
right.
I mean, there's different things, and that was why she showed up at this meeting to have this August 5th deadline period. So,
originally, I should add also. Originally, I talked to Roger about with the enhancement grant doing something with truancy, and as I looked at that more, I think that we will be looking at that as a fall grant and trying to do something countywide, but that's still something that I'm concerned about.
There was some communication. Did you see that email from, is it Joe Hughley? Is that Buffalo County or Morrill County? Where was that? Well, they wanted to get information of what we thought the, and I knew we weren't going to have it and probably until today, the cost, the increased cost that this would add to our juvenile, juvenile diversion or juvenile probation program. So he just wanted information as to what we thought our cost would increase. So we may want to try and ferret out some of that information and get that to him. He wanted to just visit with, who was it, which state senator was that? Check your emails. He sent that around just kind of an information request, wanting to know, but he wanted the information Monday. But, you know, so if there's a way we can just get some round numbers of what we think the cost increase would be to the county. So. All right.
That's assuming that they view that the county is on the hook for every office that the probation thinks they need.
Jeff?
That's, again, I share that with the public. I don't necessarily buy into that. You know, sometimes we share office space. Private business has to do the same thing. And I think government, as they pass down the costs to the county and the city level, I think they need to understand that, too. Now I'm in trouble.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do you vote? Did you vote already?
It was close. Thank you very much. Next on the agenda is to approve or disapprove the Southeast Nebraska Drug Court Agreement. And what I'm not calling for a motion. I've talked to Roger about this, and I'll just say that, you know, we like to, if things aren't super time sensitive, have that discussion. I talked to Roger. Everyone's got a copy of this in their packet. I'd like to have some discussion about this. And Roger, if you want to
start. Fairly recently we just received the agreement itself is basically the same agreement you've seen over the past several years. In regard to operation of the Southeast Nebraska Drug Court. Again, I heartily endorse this program. It's an excellent alternative to sending people to prison when the primary offense involves drug addiction. And so the issue always comes on the attachments. And I know Don and I talked last week, and I had received an email that had some of the, had some numbers on it. I'd asked some inquiry or made some inquiries as to other numbers. And I know Don had also asked the exhibit. Specifically, I would point to you, it appears they're asking for about a $2,100 increase from Gage County. The participation level for Gage County is 80%. So 80% of the participants this past year in drug court over in that's held in Wilbur have been Gage County individuals. So clearly we have the bulk of the people that are involved in drug court. When you look at the $2,100, I was trying to get a total cost, if you will, of what the drug court program costs. And we're still waiting on some of those numbers. But I think what we need to keep in mind is that the what they're asking for, I believe, Don, is $15,773, if that email I got was correct.
That's what I determined this to be.
Okay, and so that's, like I said, a $2,100 increase. In the scope of the total cost of the program, that's very reasonable. And, again, I just think it's our duty as stewards of the public's money to always look at, ask the questions, see if there's any, you know, we're getting the best bang for the buck, as everybody always says. So I suggested, Matt had talked about, you know, maybe getting some more of those figures so we can have those before the board takes a formal vote on it. But, again, the program itself is an excellent program, and we certainly support it here in Gage County.
And I would personally speak in a very positive way for the drug court and the results that we've been getting. And I don't think it's any secret. I think you can see in every copy of the newspaper and every arrest that's made on juveniles or just past juveniles has some drug relationship. I mean, you can't hardly see an arrest for any kind of violation that doesn't have drug paraphernalia discovered and certain ounces of this and that drug. And this is huge, and we want to continue funding it. And I want to thank you, Roger, and your office and those folks in Saline and Jefferson Fillmore also. This is a wonderful program.
I guess I got a question. The number 19 out of 24 from Gage County, is this a result of our population here, or is it more of the court system using this program?
Well, and again, it goes through the prosecutors. If we make a determination somebody's qualified for drug court, we will talk with defense counsel. And again, given the opportunity to wipe a felony off your record, by going through the and it is an intensive program. It's 18 months minimum.
It's 100% because Judge Johnson has my people over there quite often bringing people back over. Yep. They don't want to complete it. They have their chances within the court. So I mean, it's a good program, like Denny says. But they're the ones that they don't make an effort or just can't. And it's just.
Well, in some counties, again, the smaller counties won't have as many. They may have like a year where there's the seed task force comes into town and makes some arrests, so there'll be a bump. But again, the alternative that you have, I was involved with the committee when we first studied this. And I believe in it. And again, worst case scenario, sometimes I hear people, you're too soft on these people. Well, here's an opportunity. Typically, they're young offenders, first-time offenders. Give them a chance to go in. And first of all, the addiction is a problem, and it's at the root of everything else. There may be some thefts or shoplifting, whatever the case may be, to fund their habit. But the programs have shown over the course of them being around, it saves money in terms of court time, getting people back, having them employed, paying taxes as opposed to being a burden on society, but basically supported by society. So I don't think there's any question numbers wise, it's advantageous to do this. If they don't do it, as Gus was just saying, they come back, they're kicked out of drug court, then they're sentenced on typically a class 3 or 4 felony. And Judge Bryant, Judge Corzlin, not to speak on every case, but they're going to probably be going north for an extended period of time. So there's plenty of incentive for them to do it. And for the most part, people take advantage of this here. Part of that is defense counsel, see it as a viable option, and we just have more cases, and we're certainly supportive as the prosecutors here. And of course, with Mr. Schreiner, my chief deputy, he's involved as a prosecutor over in the drug court. So, we stay on top of everything over here and try and steer people, particularly the youthful offenders, that way.
So just quick dirty math here for about 50, for the request, if you divide that by the number of participants, they're estimating, I guess, would be about $828 per participant. So, I guess you look at, and what's the cost if someone gets put in jail and continues to be recycled in the system?
I can tell you if they go through a jury trial in district court, you can kiss $10,000 goodbye. That's with juries, the attorneys on the other side, as well as our office time, chemists from the state crime lab, all those factors come into it, so... And like you said, if we can, keep these people from, visiting Gus on a regular basis, it saves everybody a lot of money.
I think probably the biggest heartache is that we just need more information, and it's nice to stay up to date on, how the program is working. A lot of times we don't hear anything about the program, and then it just shows up with the bill. We need this X amount of dollars. And I think that's probably been the rub for Gage County for a few years is, how's this working? What's going on? And just so that we're made aware of what's taking place. Kathy?
Well, I think generally on an annual basis, they have a program where the county board is invited, where we have the judge, we have the other prosecutors talking about the program, strictly about the program. We've had those. I've attended those before.
I think the one thing we've asked for, and again, part of this is, we've had some turnover. We got a new coordinator over there, and it would be nice, say, in December, January, having that meeting with the prosecutors and any members of the respective supervisors across the four-county area that have questions want to come up and address those. And again, sometimes, as Matt says, all of a sudden I get an email that says, here it is. And they send one to Don saying, you know, when can we appear? And well, you know, if we have the information before, we can maybe avoid the, you know, having them appear. We know the program. And I don't think anybody doesn't agree with the program, the concept. I mean, this board, and I shouldn't speak like that because we do have some new board members, but it basically does have good support across the area. And it's just a matter of, as you guys have to justify your expenditure of money to the public, it's nice when they bring their proposed budgets, you know, explain them. Here's what, why this $2,100 increase. Fine, thank you. In the scope of things, that's a real small part of the whole budget that they operate under.
Kathy?
I just have a couple questions in my mind. Do you know what percentage of people that we send through drug court completed?
Completed?
Yes.
I don't. I can certainly get that from.
And then the long-term success rate of it. And then also looking at these numbers, if we send 19 out of 24 and we're sending Rick over to Saline County to prosecute these, is there some reason why it's done in Saline County rather than Gage County?
That's just the way it was set up initially. Was Saline County had, first of all, they had the facility of the jail that, you know, it was much larger than what we have here in Gage County. And part of the sanctions involved with drug court, if you have a problem such as a hot test or got in some other trouble or something, that the sanctions immediately. You know, if you have a chair, you're going to jail. And the judge will determine how long that is. Now they hold them there until the respective county sheriff can go over and pick them up and bring them back to our facility. So, again, things have changed, and it might be a good time, but to look at some of these things. But you have personnel such as Judge Johnson has agreed to do this. Judge Bryant and Judge Corson, who are also in the same judicial district, have agreed to support her, you know, by whenever they need to, they cover some cases. You know, it's one of those things. I agree with you when you have most of the participants are here having to travel there, but sometimes that's just the way the program is. So, but it's something I know I was at Supervisor Grell that always had a question about that. Why we have everybody, majority of us, other participants are here, and we go over to Wilbur. And logistically, that's how it worked out when it got started.
If I could just speak to that.
Yeah.
I was the first board member for the drug court, and when we originally set it up, we looked at the schedules for the three judges involved, and Judge Johnson was by far the judge who had the time to be able to be involved with that. And so we had it there. Also, a lot of all they may be charged in Gage County. Their offense may be out of Gage County. A lot of our participants were in Lancaster at that time.
Gary, she was also our grant writer at the time for that.
If I remember right from the last discussion, and maybe the numbers have changed, but it's pretty close to 100% going through. I mean, it's a really high number as far as the ones that go through the process to the end. Because I remember that was one of the questions we had is why are we being so selective? Why aren't we actually selecting more people to go through this? Because that was one of the questions that I think Matt might have brought up last time when we had this discussion. Yeah. So,
is there
a year or two ago.
And do we have time? And this is July 1, the agreement. I guess it didn't get in by July 1. Is there anything, the time-sensitive nature of this? All I'm proposing would be come back in 2 weeks, and if people want more information, it's the first time we see it, just to answer questions.
No, I don't think this. Again,
not kick anybody out at this point
Okay. No, I think, you know, first of all, the part of it's the budget timing. You know, they need to get their stuff quicker, get it to us, answer the questions. I know Dawn sent some emails. She hasn't had a response to them. I don't have an answer why that didn't happen, but I'm sure Judge Johnson will want to know why. And again, I think if we have that like mid-year meeting, that will help. Because then when you get to stuff, you got a pretty good idea. Here's what it's being spent on. You know, answer these questions before we're under a gun, so to speak. But I, at this juncture, I don't think there's any problem with referring it back to July 1.
So what I would encourage is I won't call for a motion or I won't call for approval, but if there are questions, we'll put this on the agenda in 2 weeks for a consideration. And if we can put the monkey on your back, so to speak, if you've got questions, so there's a central contact, maybe email them to Roger and see if
we can
forward that to them just to gather more information, because there's a lot of questions that I couldn't answer. I think it might be viable to have more discussion. So I think it's safe to say we all support the program. It's just a process thing about gathering information. So, all right. Good discussion. Thank you. Next is approve or disapprove a program agreement for the consultant underwater inspections on county bridges. A motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. How many bridges do we have underwater? Get much traffic?
With water.
Can you want to speak to this, Terry, please? Just maybe explain the program here.
Deborah Brown, Page County Highway. It's every 5 years this bridge will get inspected. It's an underwater bridge. It's part of the Big Blue. We'd sure like to. This will be soft match money will be applied to this, so it's not something the county will actually be paying for.
Is this the bus bridge north? Which bridge is this?
It's the Blue Springs
Bridge,
yeah.
And what makes the Blue Springs Bridge underwater and not the Holmesville Bridge?
It's the depth of the water, and that's what they determine that inspection of that bridge, is how deep that water is there. In the Holmesville, it could be, they take different factors into it. Because you said about it being a damming,
dam,
stuff. So this particular bridge is the depth of it, of where the inspection is. I don't know about the water depth on that particular one and how deep it is at the bridge versus behind the dam, but that's one of the reasons. We've got this one is up. It will get inspected every 5 years, and soft match money is applied to it. And I think we had our last check, we were about $326,000 in our soft match fund.
So no cost to the county because we have those soft match credits, basically.
That's exactly right.
This number that's just out there someplace. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's actually any dollars sitting around, but it's a nice number to have.
Yes.
So. Okay, any questions for Deborah? I have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Okay, approve or disapprove resolution signing of the project program agreement for 2013 underwater bridge inspection. This is just signing the program agreement. So we approve the consultant. Now we'll approve the agreement. 13-19. Need a motion to approve? So moved. Approve. Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next, approve or disapprove a contract between TCW Construction, Inc. and Gage County.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
This is just the formality. This is the contract. This is the Coke Road. That being built up right now, this is just the final contract with the company that got the low bid on that project.
Okay. More discussion? We have a motion and a second. Vote. 7-0 to approve the agreement, or contract, rather. Next, let's have Mark Munford come forward, and we'll discuss. And then I'll call for resolution or for approval issuing the bonds of the county for the road bond issue that passed. Mark Munford from Emeritus.
Excuse me. Hello, everyone. Again, Mark Munford with Emeritus. Thanks for having me. I'm going to pass out, before we consider this resolution, pass out some numbers, some final numbers for you to look at. If you take one, and here, I'll just pass.
That's better. Thank you, Mark.
We finished the sale of these bonds yesterday. I was in North Loop, Scotia last night, got home at 11. Got home, picked up documents to run down here this morning, so sorry if I'm a little scraggly. But anyway, so what we have, after we visited the last time with the road committee, which was, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we decided basically to move forward. We have seen interest rates move up a little bit, so that was kind of a concern, I think, if we were going to wait a little bit or not, and so we decided to move forward. What we have here is we've issued the total amount of bonds. These are, we've pre-marketed these bonds. What I mean by that is nothing, we don't have a deal until you approve the resolution today. So if these numbers are not to your liking, you can opt to not approve them, and we just break the trade and not do it. But so we have commitments at these levels, though, okay? So if you see here, sources of funds, $5,640,000, and then how that breaks down is the use of funds. It's going to net the county $5,582,042. Our underwriter's discount was our agreed-upon fee of 0.8%, which totals $45,000. The cost of issuance basically is for the bond attorney, and that was at $1.50 per bond or per $1,000, and that's $8,460. The rounding amount you see there is the $4,378. That's also the county's money, and that's why there's a rounding amount, is because bonds are issued in $5,000 increments. And so that money, when this settles on August 27th, we'll wire funds to the county, and you'll get the $5,582,042 plus the $4,378. That's the rounding amount, okay? So that'll also go in basically into your construction fund. The second page is going to show you interest rates we're able to obtain on these bonds. And you can see in the early years, 40 basis points, 65 basis points, 95 basis points. And then we go all the way out to year 10 where we're at 2.9%. I went back just out of curiosity and looked at our proposal and to look at the numbers. And rates have gone up substantially, probably 60, 70 basis points. The good news is, though, we're only a 10-year bond issue. A lot of that movement has happened in the years 10 and up to 20. I mean, we've seen some movement here in the years 7, 8, 9, 10. It's certainly crept up, and it's costing the county a little more money to do this deal, but actually it's about 30-some thousand a year in additional funds compared to what our proposal was back in April. Okay, so that's just food for thought for everybody. The average coupon on these bonds is 2.12%. And then when you factor down here the all-inclusive cost, which that is the average coupon plus all your fees associated with issuing the bonds, that's at 2.28%. And I think when we talked a few weeks ago, we were talking at 2.3% roughly. So we're able to kind of capture that. If you go to the next page, the good news is, and after talking with Don yesterday and getting an estimated, again, keep in mind it's an estimated valuation for your upcoming year, you look on the far right-hand column of page 3, your tax rate is, you would actually have to, if that valuation is correct and it doesn't change from what we've used here, you're at about 2.7 cents. On your levy. So you're clearly under the 3 cents that we advertised. And a lot of that is thankful to some valuation increase, but at least we were able to get in under that 3. I did also run these same numbers with 2012's valuation, and you would have been just over 3 cents. It would have been like 3.04 cents. So pretty tight window, but thankfully we're able to make it in there. So any questions on the numbers? Is everybody okay with those?
Explain a little bit. You said that you marketed these already. So these numbers aren't going to change, in other words.
No, these numbers are, assuming that you pass the resolution today, and which I always tell people they have the option not to pass it. I've been doing this a little over 10 years. I've never seen anybody not pass a resolution. But they have the option to not pass it.
Assuming that you pass the resolution, these numbers are fixed, set in stone, and the only way they would ever change is if you would go back and refinance them at some time down the road for a savings. So they are fixed rates. Any other questions, numbers-wise?
No question.
Okay. I also have, I know that last week when we sent resolutions for your packet, I think we sent down draft resolutions. And I'll give you all one of these if you would like one. This is the final resolution. The only thing you're going to find differently in the draft versus this is on the sixth page, which is going to say number four at the bottom. But on the sixth page, it should say number four at the bottom. I'm sorry. Can I give you one of these? You're looking at that. Right here. See where the interest rate column is blank? On this one, on the finished resolution, you will have interest rates inserted in there, which will, if you want to learn a little bit.
Thanks.
It basically just shows the rates that we just talked about here that I've shared with you in that other piece I just gave you.
And again, the reason we couldn't put that in the draft resolution is that we didn't have full commitments on those bonds until yesterday afternoon, and obviously couldn't get you the documents until today. So that is, I guess that is my 2 cents on the resolution, draft versus final.
Questions from Mark.
Okay. There are some changes that we're going to do time-wise.
All right. If there's no more questions for Mark, then I'll ask for approval or disapproval of to authorize or approve the resolution for the issuance of bonds by the county that we just spoke with. Spoke about. Need a motion to approve or disapprove.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
13-21.
13-20. Mm-hmm. Motion by Juergens to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion, just to point out here, what was that? On the first page there, the very first line, the very first where it says 8:30, note that should be 8:45 because it's just our Board of Equalization starts at 8:30. This regular meeting starts at 8:45. And then on page, talks about publication, says Weimar Arbor State. I believe we put notification in the Daily Sun and the Voice News as well. Okay. A couple other publications. So is that correct, Rod? Those are the two.
Yeah. Yeah, I just noted, and there's a couple other items. 8:30 is mentioned. Just, I think there's two or three other places. It's just a clarification.
Where it says 8:30, should say 8:45 for everybody. Right. All right, any more discussion? About to spend $5.6 million. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you, folks, for the opportunity to work with you. Good luck. Hopefully you get some nice roads.
Yeah. I want to say, too, Mark, when you weren't able to attend, your staff was very, very good in providing information and working with us. So
that's great. It's nice to hear that.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Next is a motion to approve or disapprove a 1% increase for the lid on restricted funds.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion?
Explain it, I guess, or tell us.
This is the 1% increase that every public body can vote for.
To raise
up, because normally you can do 2.5%. This will allow you to go with 3.5.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend it, but it allows you, from a budgeting standpoint,
right,
to raise your base level that high.
On your restricted funds.
Yeah, this isn't granting approval to do it. I mean, to spend that extra money. This is just granting approval so that if we need to or determine to or want to, I guess, then we can.
Gives them the room to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody chair, too.
Okay. More discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. One last, I'll call for a motion for closed session here, but is there anything else? Will there be no action after this? Again, it has to do with the contract, potential contract. Anything else for the good of the order before we go into closed session, assuming nobody else is going to hang around and want to come back? Is there anything else that's to be considered? Seeing none. Then I'll call for a motion to go into closed session regarding contract negotiations, necessary for the protection of the public interest and or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual relative to a contract negotiation. A motion to go to closed session.
Motion to go in closed session.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Vote 7-0 at
9:41.
Always forget that.
I write it down.
Thank you. Gary's usually on there.
Yeah. He's good at when it comes out, too.
Maybe the proposal.
I understand they had like 2,200 buns or something, ran through all the buns, you know, and they purchased, and they don't know, I don't know how many people they had after that, but it just didn't seem like the same service crowd the way everything other than food there works.
Did you get a copy of this bond resolution thing? Otherwise, we can give you our draft so at night you guys have something to read.
It seemed like people were staying.
But there's a
sign.
Sign your life away.
You read them all?
Yeah. Oh, yes, right. I read every word.
A motion to come out of executive closed session at 10:12.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Vote. 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order? We have protest.
1 o'clock.
Read-ins, because we're just in recess for equalization, at 1 o'clock.
Work for you guys, stay for Roden Bridge here for a little while. We go over there some of their numbers.
Everybody else, I like probably will not be able to make it back. Our office is going to be empty except for me. So.
Okay.
I agree.
Are you just reading into the record?
Just going to read into the record, right?
If you don't mind, I'll.
I don't believe we're taking any action. We're not.
Yeah, we do.
No,
we do
take action.
We have to approve it so it can go on to state.
But are we going to consider?
Yeah. I think the last time we considered doing it all in one bank.
This is it, because you have to be done by tomorrow.
Right. But I think we were going to just do it all, like Exhibit A, we're doing all those. Right. As I read that, I think you got to do one at a time. Isn't that what we did last year?
That's what we always did. Last year we just read them all in and
did
one motion on each group.
We read them all in, which is it's.
Well, we not got nobody said anything, right?
Nobody said anything.
All right, good. That way.
Do you know? Is there anybody going to come before us this afternoon to not challenge it, but
everyone has received a letter to tell them
what time it is.
We will be having this.
We could have.
They could come if they want to
show up. Some of them. Good.
We have also told them that they want to call ahead to the assessor's office to find out if they agree with it. They can do that, but they have the option to be here.
So Patty didn't say if she'd heard back from anybody that they were going to. Okay.
We've heard back from one person.
Did he say he was coming?
I don't know.
We don't know whether he's coming or not.
I'm sure there'll be one here.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see everybody back then at...
You're getting paid by the hour?
1 o'clock. Seeing no further needs for discussion, we will adjourn the Board of Supervisors 10:14.